All right, GM everyone, welcome to this month's community AMA. So we have a lot of questions lined up in the AMA questions channel, where if you have any other questions, you can post them there. But I think, I think I'll just start with the main question I think most people are wanting to know about. Which is our update to Lifinity's market making algorithm, which we might call V3, just so it's easy to talk about it. So the original plan, which we mentioned in last month's AMA, was that we were about a month away from launching the V3. So we did some initial testing, and actually I'm going to mention this since some of you will probably think that that one day where we had a spike in fees generated, that was not the day, actually. So that was just like a random fluke. We looked into why we happened to get generate a lot of fees that day. And it was probably something weird done on Jupiter's end. They update Juno very frequently. And so, again, like the exact cause, we can't really know, but they probably made a change that was beneficial to us in one way or another, and then like quickly reverted it or something, which is why it was so short lasting. But yeah, so that was a fluke, nothing to really read into there. Our testing was done separate from that day. So anyways, we did the testing and we quickly realized that there were a few additional things that we could add to the V3 that we had developed thus far. And so those are the things we're working on right now. So adding a few new features to the AMM as well as our Oracle program. It's important that we can update our Oracle quickly, cheaply, and make it as precise and accurate as possible. So yeah, both the market making logic and the Oracle program. And actually we finished adding the new features. So now we're working on the SDK, the software development kit, which is what we give to aggregators in order for them to be able to easily integrate us. So once that's ready, so we hope to complete that in about 2 to 3 weeks and then deliver the SDK to aggregators. And after that, we will still have the task of doing a bunch of testing and making a bunch of optimizations, because it's not just about the market making algorithm, but also the parameters within the algorithm and making sure that they are optimized for the current market structure. Yeah, so that's the current plan. Hopefully no more delays. But it's always possible that we find new optimizations, but hopefully it's not like the type of optimization where we need to write more code, but rather we can just tune the parameters differently. All right, so that's the update on that. Let me know if people have questions about that. And now I'm going to get to all the questions that you all have written in the AMA questions channel. All right, starting with Yancho. They say, I listened to the AMA. He wrote this soon after the previous AMA. So I listened to the AMA, and two things were discussed: eventual shutdown and what will happen with book value, and also the new algorithm. So, question number one, is the new algorithm like the last effort? For example, is shutdown dependent on whether the new algo is successful or not? Sort of, but actually, I'm just gonna bunch this in with your second question, which is, under what conditions will the shutdown be implemented? So basically, we will shut down if the community wants us to. I think I mentioned that in the previous AMA as well. And I mean, it's what we've been saying for years now. So, I mean, maybe that is slightly vague and you're asking to be more precise with what I mean by if the community asks for it. But basically, you know, if there's a bubbling sentiment within the community that, like, we should vote on this, then we'll do a vote and see what happens. Similar to, like, all the other votes we've done historically. So, yeah, and so back to your question number one. Is the shutdown dependent on whether the new algo is successful? So this is inherently subjective because what does it mean for the algo to be successful? It might, like, for just like, here's an example scenario is that what if we increase our revenue more than what the current level is, but then some people might think, oh, that's not enough. It's still too low for their standards, whatever they are. I think everyone has their own, like, number, you know, for, like, where they want revenue to be. And if it's below a certain level, whatever they define that as, then they would prefer a shutdown. That's why we do the vote, because, like, that's a way to aggregate everyone's preferences about, like, how they think about what a sufficient revenue is to keep operating. Yeah, so I hope that's clear for you. And take a little sip. My mouth is pretty dry. Okay. All right, next question is from Weekend Whale. Once we get to the 4-year anniversary of the VE IDO, will there be any real point in maintaining the 2-token system? Is there any chance the 2 tokens could be merged eventually? Yes, there is a point. Because people can still lock their tokens after the IDO. So it's not as if, you know, everyone who chose to lock for 4 years started at the VE IDO, and then ever since then it's only been that tokens have unlocked. On the contrary, people have locked their tokens like even very recently. For example, that's something I myself do. Like, I lock any of my tokens that vest, I lock them for 4 years. So, like, those tokens are freshly locked, right? So they're very different from the tokens that have been unlocking since the VE IDO, which now have a much shorter lock period. So, like, there's that differentiation. And so what's the point of this differentiation of lock periods? We talk about this in one of our original articles about our tokenomics, I believe in part 2, where, so the point is that you can differentiate between short-term and long-term holders, and then we can reward long-term holders more with a larger portion of revenue. And so that's the purpose of The locking is like, if you commit to being a long-term holder, then you get a larger share of the revenue. So yeah, that's the point of like, or that's at least like one of the points of having the two token system. And I've written about it more in a Twitter thread. That was a while ago, but a very long thread explaining why that system, this Lifinity's token system, is a good system. Yeah, I mean, like, so, and also I just want to mention that from my perspective anyways, like, I don't see a problem with there being two tokens. Like, I don't see any negative effects on our community of token holders. Maybe you have something in mind, but yeah, I don't really see any issue with it, except for perhaps that, you know, like, it's slightly complicated relative to like other token systems out there. I think the complexity is for a good purpose, like I just explained earlier, but it does make it slightly more difficult for people to like get on board with it. Even though, like, with the current meta, you know, it's like right up the alley of the current meta, the revenue meta, because yeah, this gives a way to differentiate between token holders and how much they should be, how much of the revenue they should receive. And of course, like, ours was also tied in with our ICO mechanism, which I think worked really well. And I mean, that's kind of in the conversation too, like, what's the best way to do ICOs or IDOs? And since the time that we've done our VE IDO, a bunch of new methods of capital formation have emerged. My favorite is Futarchy. I would guess a lot of you are familiar with that or have heard of it. But yeah, there's like a bunch of other mechanisms too, even including, like, you know, the meme coin stuff is, I mean, it's kind of different, but it's kind of like in that vein. But anyways, yeah. All right, I'm gonna move on to Taste's question. With the new algo, are we finally opening up for opportunities to provide liquidity to more assets? I'm particularly bullish on RWA in non-USD stablecoins and tokenized stocks. Seems growth potential is endless, but there should still be lots of inefficiencies to profit from. Yeah, I agree. Like, similarly to how, like, most of the volume for trading assets, even crypto assets, has mostly been on centralized exchanges, at least until recently, and like still for most assets, I think. And for that reason, you know, we were able to use the prices on centralized exchanges as an oracle on chain, and then market make using that. And so, like, so that was true of crypto assets, but then, yeah, now we have real world assets, where it seems reasonable to expect that those will, most of their volume will, at least initially for a good while, will remain in TradFi. But then they're starting to exist more and more on chain. So as long as there's good volume on them, then yeah, it's there's a lot of potential there. I think that's the tricky thing. It's like most people on chain are crypto natives, and for that reason are often less interested in real world assets. One, because they're less familiar with it, and two, because they're less exciting because they tend to be assets whose prices are not as volatile as crypto assets. So, yeah, I think we'll have to wait and see about that. Maybe there will be like some forms of incentivization that could be good for like getting things kick started. I mean, they've done that for like borrow and lend. A lot of USD assets are like giving incentives for borrowing and lending. And that's been successful. Trading, I'm not sure, like, it's not that common to hear about like incentivizing trading directly. It's more like incentivizing liquidity provision. But even that's kind of out of favor. Like, I don't see it that much anymore. Like, it used to be like the main DeFi thing almost, right? Like, most of the incentives were concentrated in liquidity provision, but that's kind of a rare sight now. And for good reason. See part one of our tokenomics series for why that's generally not a great idea. But TradFi's pretty fucking rich, so they might not care if it's like not the most efficient use of funds. If they think it has the potential to kickstart a giant opportunity for them, then they might be still willing to do that. So, but yeah. So yeah, I think there's potential, but we still kind of have to wait and see about volumes. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Next question. Oh wait. Yeah, so this is about the new algo. So we already talked about that. Okay. Next question is from LSG. When the Solana ETF is validated, can we expect more revenue? In a sense, I think there will be more volume on Sol once the ETF goes live. I mean, price will. Yeah, I think there'll be more trading on it. But I think that'll probably be like a relatively temporary phenomena. And I don't expect like heightened volumes on Sol just because there is going to be a ETF. So, yeah, I wouldn't like count on that too much. Yeah. All right, next is from Aaron Morad. Why is book value 20% higher than token price? Why isn't anyone buying it? Yeah, fairly common question. I guess I would first say like why not ask yourself the same question? Like if you aren't buying it, even though you see the opportunity, you can probably figure out the reasons why you yourself aren't buying it. And then maybe other people have similar reasons. But if I were to speculate, I think I guess people feel that the opportunity cost is too high. Or in other words, they could get this free 20% yield, sort of, assuming we did like a redemption event. But then, for one, they don't know when that would occur, so there's a time factor, or it is a unknown. And then the other thing is they have to consider their opportunity cost. So what are other places where they could put their capital to work? And can they get a yield that's higher than that? And perhaps everyone feels that they do have other opportunities that are more valuable. We are in a bull market after all. I think it's safe to say that, like, things have looked pretty good for quite a while. So yeah, that would be my speculative answer. All right, Weekend Whale says, uncertainty, future revenue, value of assets held, fate of the project, complexity, two tokens, illiquidity, lots of reasons. Why buy at a 20% discount when you might get 25% or 30% later? Yeah, so there's some more reasons for you. Shadow asks, does the Titan aggregator route through Lefinity at all? I believe so. I don't have any reason to think they wouldn't. I mean, we are integrated, if that's what you mean. Jay Gills asks a Flare related question. Magic Eden is starting Season 3 and incentivizing trading in partner collections. Since Flare DAO keeps its bid there, can Flares be included in that collection? Yes, sir. There are things in the works along those lines, so stay tuned, I guess. Just wait for Magic Eden to announce anything. But yeah, something is in the plans, let's say. All right, 7LLL5 asks, please provide an update on testing to the extent possible. What's the team's opinion on the new algo performance? Any timelines you can communicate? Yeah, so I basically already talked about this too, so yeah, nothing to add, I think. Okay. Swans asks, or I guess yeah, summarizing for everyone. Basically 4 to 6 weeks to integrate and tweak parameters. Not exactly sure what you mean by that. Do you mean 4 to 6 weeks from now? So we're looking to deliver the SDK faster than that, 2 to 3 weeks. And then the tweaking parameters will be, you know, an ongoing thing. It won't be a one and done. I mean, same with like our V2, you know, we were always tweaking parameters because the best parameters are always moving. It's a moving target. But yeah. Our Lord Prince asks, in case of a shutdown, what happens with Sandglass? Let's see. So if we decided to shut down Lefinity, I think it would be very likely that we would also shut down Sandglass, because Sandglass is being developed with the team funds from Lefinity. And, you know, as we've said before, when we distribute funds, that would also include the team funds. So, excuse me. So, yeah, there would be no funds left for development. And let me get this scammer out of here. And so, yeah. Yeah, it would be it may be like a different story if Sandglass were more profitable. Right now it's like not very profitable. Hopefully, I mean, obviously we're looking to improve that, but but yeah, so that's most likely is that we would shut down Sandglass along with Lefinity if that were to happen. And then Lord Prinz also asks, how happy / relieved or sad / disappointed would you be if Lefinity would end? Yeah, well, I mean, Affinity has a special place in my heart. For sure. Like, I ended up working for Affinity like quite randomly. Like how it all happened was quite random, but then it was like really fucking awesome that it did. So yeah, like I haven't really thought about like what would I do if I wasn't working for Lefinity. It's like a whole like phase of my life spanning years. So yeah, it'd be, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see. Like, I'd have to think about what a subsequent phase of my life would look like. So, but I mean, I also don't expect this to, I don't expect to be working for Lefinity until the day I die. So, I mean, I think that day will come eventually, but yeah. Yeah, there'd be some sadness. Yeah, I think that would be like the main thing. I don't think I would be happy. Yeah, interesting question. Especially the way you phrased it. Right, so Weekend Whale, I think he's talking about the two token system that I was talking about earlier, answering their question. So they say, for me, the most obvious problem with having two tokens is that it makes it a lot harder to use limit orders or LP to accumulate. So it's harder to buy ultimately, which I think ties into the very common question of why people aren't buying. Given that there isn't that much volume traded on either or both tokens, with the exception of the occasional large trade, you're kind of stuck guessing or splitting your liquidity. Okay, so harder to accumulate. Why exactly is it hard to accumulate with like limit orders? And because you can do limit orders like any other token, I think. And LP like any other token, I believe. Or like maybe the point you're trying to make is that because most of the tokens are locked, they're not available for buying and selling. So like I could imagine that if we didn't have the two token system, we just had one token system with like staking, for example, some kind of staking system. Would that increase trading volume? And therefore, make it easier for limit orders to get filled or something. Maybe that seems maybe possible, but I don't think it's like that likely because I don't imagine that most people who have VE Lifinity right now, the reason they aren't selling or accumulating more is because a lack of liquidity or difficulty with limit orders or anything. I think most people just prefer the passive strategy of receiving revenue and not thinking too hard about, like, is the price gonna go up or down? Although, like, I mean, certainly some people think about that and like try to time things and stuff, but yeah, I don't think it's super common for the Lefinity token holding community. But yeah, that's also just a guess. Yeah, I'm gonna let you reply to that. Seems like you're typing. So Max says, when will the new algo be live? So the current plan is that we're currently developing the SDK, and we're trying to get it to aggregators in 2 to 3 weeks. And yeah, there will still be testing and optimization required after that, but yeah, that's the current plan. All right, Jay Gills says, in a 24-hour day, how many hours are spent tweaking parameters? Is it something that can be intelligently done by an algo, or does it require a person? I mean, we could, in theory, create an algo, but then, the algo that adjusts the parameters would also need adjusting. the quote unquote algorithm that we use to tweak parameters is not linear. That algo resides in human brains, and it's not simple. It takes in a lot of factors, and it's not merely like a number crunching exercise. Like it's like seeing the relationship between various factors, and the relationship are often like nonlinear and complex. It's like a complex dynamic system that we're working with, namely markets. So, summarizing all that in an algo would be quite difficult. I'm not sure like what percent of the human brain the algo, the wetware algo, would be able to be captured in an algo written in code. All that to say, so yeah, basically it does require a person, what we do. How many hours a day? I'm not sure about that. Nor are the boundaries like super clear because some of the things we do are not like tweaking parameters. But when we think about what's the best way to tweak parameters, those other things we did may have revealed to us useful information about how we could tweak parameters. Yeah, and then sometimes we just need to wait, as in like give things time to create more data so that we have enough data to be able to make reasonable inferences. We can't work with too little data because then we would like basically specialize to fluke occurrences rather than seeing like actual patterns. Jay Gill says, I mostly want to know if performance is predicated on someone sitting at their desk 24/7 tweaking things manually. Oh no, it's not like that. Yeah, definitely not like that. Yeah, that would suck. Yeah, so like we make changes. And then we see how those changes perform relative to before. And then, we can see if we're directionally correct. And if we're directionally correct, then maybe we'll make a change, an additional change in the same direction, and then see if that still makes more improvements. But if there's no change or if it makes things worse, then we'll revert to the previous parameters we had, and if it improves, then keep going, and so yeah, but this doesn't require sitting at a desk 24/7, because again, like there needs to be time where you need to gather data where you can make inferences. So, yeah. In other news, just waiting for more questions. In other news, Solana continues to nail it. Still the most performant chain while being relatively cheap compared to the assets of other chains. Even like outperforming centralized change, which is like kind of insane. And I think institutions are starting to understand this. Like if they want performance on the level that they're used to with TradFi, the level of performance in centralized systems, Solana can match that. Can match Visa and it can match NASDAQ and so yeah, the trajectory for a Solana ecosystem is looking good. Weekend whale. Seems like you were typing something but canceled. It's okay. All right. Should I wait a little bit more, see if people have questions or? All right, cool. Well, I guess I'm going to call this AMA. Appreciate all the questions. Sorry we couldn't get the V3 out within the month that we initially wanted to, but we're still hard at work, working to get that out. So yeah, stay tuned for V3. All right, guys, have a great rest of the day, and I will see you in the chat. Peace out.